You know, it's interesting how the Lord leads you in one direction and then things kind of change. For those of you that were here last week and listening to the sermon, we were meditating on the book of Ephesians, and we're going through Apostle Paul's letters to the church in Ephesus. And as we were talking about walking, we're in the vocation where you were called, and we talked about individuals, Christians, individuals, and their individual walk. And then we, as the end of chapter 5, went to husband and wives, and then now also to fathers and their children, parents and their children, and then in chapter 6, bond servants and slaves, or masters and servants. And that, I was fully prepared to teach and to speak about that this afternoon, but I walked in the sanctuary, and in the corner I saw palm leaves. So the Lord has laid on my heart to, I'm not going to have a sermon. It's more of an inspiration to, or that I would inspire you this week as we're going into Palm Sunday, which today is. And I want to encourage you to take the time to look at the events that have taken place up until the crucifixion of Christ. So before we look into God's word and we start reading a little bit about that, let's pause for a word of prayer. We're thankful, Father in heaven, for yet another opportunity to look into your word, and just ask and pray that you would be with us, that you would bless us. Lord, that you would inspire us and uplift us. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon your word. Help us, Lord, to understand your words as it is penned down, and why. And Lord, as we read your word, and as we study it, and as we're coming up to the crucifixion, your crucifixion, and the resurrection, that this is something that we would know, and that we would feel, and that we'd understand, and take it seriously. We thank you, Lord, for this, and just ask and pray that you'd be with each and every one of us. Ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to the book of John. I'd like to read the whole chapter. St. John chapter 12. It's kind of lengthy. I'd rather read more than preach, but I think as we read and understand what has transpired, and there'll be a couple of points that I'll bring out. Perhaps during the week you can go back and reread this portion of scripture. St. John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one to the disciple, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this not ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Thus he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and bare that which was put therein. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass sitting thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass colt." These things understood not the disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things upon him, unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him was raised, he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said it thundered. Others said, "An angel had spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice comes not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is this judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from this earth, will draw all men unto me." Thus he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto him, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk ye while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And this is the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe because of Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes, he hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, lest I shall heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I come to a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I shall say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. A lengthy portion of Scripture. But I want to point out a couple of things. This is the time where the Jews would go into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. They would go through Jericho, and they were on their way to Jerusalem. Some things to consider on this Palm Sunday. And this is something that is, because it was in Scripture and it's recorded in all three Gospels, that's something that is relevant. It's something that we should understand and that we should know. The fact is that God's word tells us that the people were cutting the palm branches and waving in the air as Christ was coming down on the colt. They laid them on the ground before Jesus as he rode into the city. We need to understand that the palm branches represent the goodness and the victory, and it was a symbolic of final victory that he would fulfill over death. 1 Corinthians 15:5 says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And the fact that Jesus chose to ride on a donkey, which is directly fulfilled in the Old Testament scripture of Zechariah 9:9. You know, in biblical times, it's common for kings, when they would go out to war, they would go out on horses, or they'd come back on a horse, sign of victory. But Jesus didn't come on a horse. He didn't ride on a horse. He didn't want a horse. He came on a donkey. The donkey was a sign of peace. And that he showed that he came with peaceful intentions. Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace. Zechariah 9:9, greatly rejoice, O daughters of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Another thing that we need to take consideration is as Christ was riding on the donkey, they were shouting, Hosanna. They were wailing, Hosanna, Christ is King. And the word Hosanna means save now. And the understanding that they had is that Jesus was going to come and he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire. He was going to be their king. And unfortunately, a lot of people's hearts were broken because this did not happen. God having a different way, something different in mind of bringing salvation to all that would trust in him. Psalm 118:26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We also read that in Luke 19 that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And there was a reason why. Because they didn't understand that his kingdom was one of a spiritual realm, not the physical realm. In the midst of the praise of the moment, he knew in his heart that it wouldn't be long that these same people would turn their backs on him, that they would betray him, that they would crucify him. His heart would be broken in the reality of how much they need a Savior. As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it, said, If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Palm Sunday reminds us that the reign of Christ is far greater than any the mind of man could ever conceive. Man looked for someone to fight their battles in this present world. Yet God had the ultimate plan in sending his son to fight the final battle. Jesus said unto her in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. As we approach the time of year when the children of Israel would celebrate the time when they were looking back from the deliverance from the bondage of their forefathers in Egypt, at the same time looking forward to a great and final liberation when their Messiah, the King, would come, they would be restored all that they were foretold for them. This is what they were anticipating. This is what they were looking for. They wanted to make Jesus a king by force, but he wouldn't do it. They put a crown of thorns on his head. John 12:16 tells us that the disciples didn't understand these things at first. They could see it, they could hear it, they could make an affirmation about it, but really they didn't comprehend it. And you know what? We don't know much. We know that when Jesus went into Jerusalem, it wasn't that he went to the temple to overturn the temple. It wasn't that he was going to make a big commotion there. But we knew that the Pharisees, as we read, wanted to kill him. They also wanted to kill Lazarus. This is the beginning of Palm Sunday. So I encourage you as you go home today, tonight, tomorrow, and the rest of the week, you know, we can get caught up in our daily lives of work and school and play and so forth. But in your quiet time, take the time to read the events that have taken place, one after another. The events that led up to the crucifixion of Christ, your Savior and my Savior. I encourage you that as we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or the crucifixion, that we also think about the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, the scripture tells us that it would be in vain. So the Lord's led me in a different direction here for this afternoon. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you to go back and reread this portion of scripture and read the events that have taken place. Because next week is going to be, is the Easter that we will be commemorating. May God bless his word.